Having flown a lot over the years, especially flying overseas, those long flights can be really uncomfortable. And I was always grateful when I got upgrades. And I often would get upgrades because I'd built up enough miles. If you build up enough miles, you get a certain status. And if there's an upgrade, they'll upgrade you. So be upgraded from coach to business class is the difference between being crunched in like a sardine and having a place to where you can actually lay down and they serve you great food. And it's wonderful. And so that's happened with me a lot. But I remember one time I think it was the first time or maybe the second, I took a group, it was about 15 of us or more, traveling to Africa. And they came to us and said, I was upgraded already because of my status, but they upgraded the whole group from one seating to the business class. And I've never seen that happen before. They're never open seats like that. And they got upgraded as a whole group on the way back. I didn't come home with them. I had to stay for a little while longer. I thought, wow, that's just amazing. Now, you understand God doesn't waste any life lesson. You know, it's not that we're supposed to be wackadoodle and think that everything is, you know, if a bug walks in front of you, God's not trying to tell you that Jesus was a bug. But a lot of things happen that are God speaking. And there are times when what often happens for us as individuals, where the Lord offers an upgrade, where he just does something in you. He's doing something. He created a hunger, and you embrace the hunger, and the hunger grew into a breakthrough, into a larger personal experience of all that's yours in Christ. But every once in a while, the whole group will be offered an upgrade. I don't know why that is. Maybe the group as a whole. I don't know what's the tilting point. I don't know what the tipping point is, but that happens. And it's, again, not about people just waiting on God to show up. God showed up 2,000 years ago. He waits for us. And I guess sometimes there's just a group thing that's going on. Even sometimes the leaders don't even know it's going on in so many people in the group. And they've embraced a hunger that he initiates, and then blessed with the hungry because they'll be satisfied. That's happened here. I'm sure it's happened in other places that God's offering upgrades. Now here's the deal. When all those people were offered upgrades, any of them could have said, no, I want to stay right where I am. I feel better here. This is good. I'm closer to the bathroom. It's whatever. Which would be foolish. But Christians do that all the time. And they're so used to flying coach that it's threatening for them to get the upgrade because they don't know what to expect. They're afraid they're going to lose out on something that they're used to getting. And you say, well, that's just silly. Yeah, but if you've never been in business class and you're all you've done is fly coach and you're comfortable with it, people sometimes won't take risk. This is from chapter 3 of Luke. Now, there are all these names of these, all these people. So, verse 1, yabba dabba do. Now, verse 2. Okay. And all these people, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As this is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the God, or it's the word wholeness of God. One of the things we have to do is redeem the word repentance. Because if you're raised, particularly in the South, you think of repentance about getting beat up over spiritually by your preacher or at some tent meeting, and it's about beating yourself up. And so that becomes a real works thing. Sort of you're having to work something up and make all these promises to God and feel terrible about yourself, and then you can whatever. But whenever there's a transition from what your experience has been to a larger experience, there's repentance. And remember that the word repentance just means to think with. That's what it comes from, two Greek words, think with. There's nothing about repentance that says feel bad about. That's not the word. It's about coming into agreement with the way God thinks and realizing that the way you've been thinking and what you've been living with or what you've been settling for is wrong, and you come into agreement with God because God showed you something. I think I mentioned last night, there was something years ago the Lord showed me. He said, there's just this attitude that's going on, and he said, if you want to go where I want to take you, you can't take that with you. And so if they were to tell you that you've been upgraded to business class and they just delivered you your little sandwich in a plastic thing and you've eaten that sandwich so many times over the years, you're like going, well, I haven't opened my sandwich yet. And they said, well, you have to leave the sandwich here. You can't have that sandwich. If there's filet mignon, we're going to serve you with twice-baked potatoes and great desserts in business class. And you go, no, but I like the sandwich. So if I can't take the sandwich with me, I'm not going there. That's what sin is. Sin is like the liverwurst sandwich that's been sitting around for 14 months in a little plastic wrapper. That's why we say that repentance is always about trading up. But what repentance always does is make ready the way of the Lord. So whenever the Lord births something, whenever the Lord, you know, that verse we shared from Matthew 25, whenever there's this shout, behold the bridegroom, Jesus is now offering you, now is the time, it's fullness of time for you to move from this, from glory to glory. That we says you have to come out and meet him. And often that coming out, our movement is involved, repentance is involved. See, Jesus was already alive. He was on the scene. He wasn't doing all the things he wanted to do. His public ministry hadn't started, but he had done some pretty amazing things, you know, like being in the temple when he was 12 years old, teaching all these teachers and all this stuff. It says this before the scripture, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in grace with God and men. So he was on the scene. So like what happened Sunday is like Jesus is now on the scene in a new way, offering us an upgrade. But even though he was on the scene, for him to come and began to manifest what he wanted them to experience, there was repentance was a part of the deal. Repentance isn't meant to make you feel bad. Repentance is an opportunity to make ready for the way of the Lord, to enter in, to be able to actually experience fully the larger experience God wants you to experience. Whenever Jesus shows up, it changes your experience. But he doesn't show up to go, let's just celebrate forever that there's been a change. Jesus says, let's go all the way. Let's take the biggest bite we can. But repentance is part of it. It sort of greases the way, the path. See, because here's the deal. Every advancement in the Lord is an advancement in our allowing Christ more fully to live his life as Lord through us. Jesus won't fully manifest himself if you insist on having it your way. Jesus doesn't want you as a co-pilot. Remember what we said, one of the descriptions of the gospel is Jesus living his life and his story through your life and your own unique life story. But he'll only live his life. He won't live what you want. He'll only live the way he wants to live. His life, his story, through your life and your life story. And so that's why we used the phrase last night, give all, surrender all, and you get to take all. And so Christ is in us fully, but to the degree that we give is the degree to which we get to take. And every time Jesus shows up, it offers an opportunity to take more, to experience more. There's going to always be the requirement. He wouldn't even say that if he didn't know there were some things we have to let go of. So let me read this to you, and then we'll stop. This is 2 Corinthians. Now, as a whole, as a group, the Corinthians were a mess, though Paul was their spiritual father. And they were just a mess as a group. And so Paul had been appealing to them to a place of repentance. And he finally hears that they did. So he writes this in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. Even though, because Paul had written them a strong letter, we don't have a record of, I had caused you sorrow by my letter. I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, that's never the point, but that you were made sorrowful to repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to wholeness, to fullness. But the sorrow of the world produces nothing but death, regret, and guilt, and shame. See what Paul says? Repentance is God's way of giving us opportunity to stop suffering loss. There's more for you to experience, and this repentance gives you the opportunity to trade up, to lay something down, an attitude, an action, a relationship, or whatever, to lay that down because I understand you're hungry. And for the only way for me to satisfy that hunger, for you to experience more, to stop suffering loss, is repentance. To come into agreement with what I'm saying about this. And I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. It's so that you'll walk in greater wholeness, so that you won't suffer loss anymore. See, that's why repentance is such a gift. It's so, and it's not to make you feel bad. It's so you quit suffering loss. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come so he could own you and then make you feel bad all the time because he's some kind of holy perfectionist. He came to set you free from the reign of sin and the reign of the power of darkness. And he came that you might experience all that he is. And he will show you the things in kindness, because it's the kindness of God that draws us to repentance. Anytime God shows you some issue in your life, it's not meant to make you sorrowful. It's an act of kindness so you won't suffer loss anymore. So in this time that we're in, this place that God's birthed, this thing that God's doing, and this opportunity he's offering to have the largest experience possibly we can of the large room that's ours in Christ, repentance is going to be a part of it. Because he wants to set you free from any hindrance that keeps you from experiencing what he went to the cross and died for, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So as you embrace what God's doing, don't get introspective. You don't have to be. Just say, Lord, show me anything. Because you see, if you do it, you won't be kind to yourself. And it'll be regret, repentance of the world. It's full of regret. But if he does it in kindness and you let it go, you don't have to look back anymore. You just get to keep moving forward. No regret. That's stunning, isn't it? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together. Now, I often find that there are some situations when the Lord shows me, like the Corinthians, there's a sorrow. But it's not a sorrow that's full of condemnation. It's just a sorrow for being such a knothead and being willing to live, to suffer a loss when I didn't have to. So don't be surprised if there's sorrow. But if it's sorrow that starts to turn into guilt and condemnation, you reject it. That's not God. That's how you can tell the difference between his voice and the enemy's. His words are always spirit and life.